wandering off over here and having such a good time. Well, you're just like my family. And so coming over here, I don't get to talk to you that much. And so it's just my time. I'm talking, not you. I'm talking. Y'all are so precious and got the greatest pastors in the world. Give them a big hallelujah. I really love Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols, and thank God for their friendship, and thank God for this church. Amen. This church is an awesome church, and just to see, you know, Pastor Bob's like that Energizer Bunny commercial, you know. It just keeps going and 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 keeps going. And Pastor Bob, just that same way. He gets up in the morning and the devil says, oh no, he's up again. He's up again. But I'll tell you, he has really set an example for a lot of people. Amen. And there's not a lot of pastors that's been able to stay 50 years. I mean, the character, his life, his message has kept him here in this same church for 50 years. And I'm just grateful to be his friend. And thank you, Pastor Bob, for opening the door and accepting me as your friend. Well, God is good, isn't he? All right. Father, we thank you for your anointing and for your blessings. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, that you'll be here tonight in this service. And we ask you to orchestrate the remainder of this meeting. And Lord, we pray that you'll touch the hearts of each person that's here. Help me to say what you want me to say, not necessarily what I plan to say. But Lord, I want you to minister to the hearts of the people and for you to help them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, this time of the year is always, from Thanksgiving on to the end of the year, is always an exciting year for me, because it's a time that I am looking back and evaluating a lot of decisions that I had made before January 1. I don't wait till January 1 to make my decisions. I start making my decisions for the next year during this time of my life, because I feel like when January 1 comes, I don't want to get my engine revved, start having to rev my engine up then. I want it to be revved up, and I want to be ready for what comes, because I'm of the belief of how you leave is how you enter. So if you leave discouraged, you enter discouraged. If you leave weary, you enter weary. If you leave with unforgiveness, you take unforgiveness into the next year. And so to me, I've thought about this a lot over the years. It's how it's important for me not to only do it myself, but to encourage others to do the same. And I've always encouraged my family, let's come together, let's pray, let's seek God, let's make sure and evaluate our lives to make sure there's no unforgiveness, no strife, nothing that we're holding on to in our life that we're going to take in to this next season. And when we do that evaluating and praying and asking God to guide us, as I said, every day it just seems to get more exciting, not because it's Christmas time, but because we're going to enter another calendar year, and that means time has been spent in our life. And so now that time has been spent, time has been used, we want to make sure the time that's left in our life, no matter what our age may be, we want to live it better, if it's possible, than we have in the past. And we want to be a light and a witness. And you know, we did a thing in our church this morning, and the theme was a lot of people was involved in doing that, and the theme of it was, God can take a message, God can take your mess and make you a message. And I really believe that that's what God wants to do for all of us. All of us have had some type of mess in our life, one place or another, whether it came to us or whether we caused it. And when these mess comes, we can live in the mess, or we can let Jesus help us and heal us, where we become a message rather than letting the message ruin or the mess ruin us. And so I know there's only probably 9 days left till we enter the new calendar year. And in these 9 days, what are we going to do? Are we going to just live them out? You know, I often think about this. The airlines from here on out, there'll hardly be any seats. And sometimes people say, well, we're gonna start the first of the year. You know, nothing's happening between. People say, I can't get a job to the first of the year. Nobody's hiring. Well, the airlines, just book a ticket and see. There's thousands of people flying this time of year, more than normal. Go to the shopping centers. People are shopping everywhere. Go to the grocery stores. People are buying groceries. And so for the Christians to sit back and say, well, we're just going to wait till the first of the year. The world is busy. So we, the Christians, should be busy. Well, I guess I won't win any souls on Christmas Day because, you know, that's Christmas. We'll have to wait till after the first of the year to win any souls.
Amen.
No, seriously, I have just watched this over the years and watched people just seems like with faith, they just uncork. And it's like God can't move from Thanksgiving to January the 1. And then it's amazing how some of the people can wind up January the 1, but about mid-April, they've run out of steam. I was at the gym not long ago talking to one of the trainers. And as we were talking, I said, gym's kind of empty today. He said, yeah. He said, this time of the year, it normally always is. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, the first of the year, you can't get in. He said, everybody's got these resolutions, and they're going to lose weight, and they're going to do this. And he said, they're just jammed out. He said, it's our best time. We enroll more people. He said, I make more money. But he said, along around March, April, he said, it just starts getting less and less and less and less. Well, you see, there's no reason a believer should fall in the trend of what the world does. Whatever the world does, that's the world. And the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, for fellowship has light with darkness. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And as I was saying a few minutes ago, you know, when we're lit with the Holy Ghost, we dispel darkness. So you and I are lights in the world. Let your light shine. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen. You know, one of the things that I am doing, and I'm starting at the first of the year, and it's not because it's January 1, it's just something I'm going to do. And one of the things, well, matter of fact, I was with Joyce Meyer a few days ago, and she said, Don, I just really am concerned with a lot of people at the body of Christ, and she said, they just don't study the Bible anymore. And you know, many people come to church, and that's all the Bible they get. They don't take the scriptures that we give from the pulpit. You know, I appreciate the electronic age, and as you see, I'm in it. And our church this morning just bought me a new iPad. I don't have it with me, but just bought me the updated one. And I appreciate, but you know, there's nothing that ever takes the place of the book. Now, I'm not old-fashioned. You can say I'm not old-fashioned. I got two electronics here with me, and I know how to use them a little bit. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like. And at Pastor Appreciation, Rex Humbert gave me this. Some of you don't know who Rex Humbert was, but Rex Humbert gave me this Bible years ago. He was one of the greatest. Troy, if you never knew him, he was one of the greatest soul winners ever. I mean, Rex Humbert was just an incredible soul winner. I mean, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He didn't preach a lot about the Holy Ghost, but he preached about souls, and he got souls saved everywhere he went. But he gave me this Bible, and I wore it out. And one day at church, I got to looking for it and couldn't find it, and my men in my church stole it and took it and had it rebound for me for Pastor Appreciation Day and brought it back. But I'll tell you, I got this thing so marked up. There's no way that my iPad or my iPhone with the Bible programs can take place of the love and the revelation that I got in this book. I love this book, don't you? And I like to read the book. I like to go to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges. I like to go through all of them. You know, I still know all the books of the Bible. I've got them memorized when I was a kid, and I can still do it. I stopped at Ruth, but I can keep on going. And I just love going through sometimes and just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You know, I just love just going through there. So don't get tired of the Bible. No matter how much electronics you got, don't let it replace the good old book. Amen, the good old book. But when Joyce and I were talking the other day and about these things, and she said, you know, in March, Don, she said, we're going to do something through our ministry, and we're going to have 30 days of Bible reading or Bible study for 30 days. And I said, well, Joyce, that's awesome. I'm thinking about that. And I said, just the fire went off inside of me when she said that. And so she called me yesterday, and we were talking yesterday. And I said, you know, you gave me an idea. And is it all right if I piggyback off of that idea? And she said, well, and, you know, who knows whether it was original with her or not. So I didn't ask her that. But I said, you mind if I piggyback off of that? And she said, no. And I said, well, I'm going to take our church in the first 30 days, and I'm going to ask them to read a scripture and meditate in a scripture. It doesn't matter if you don't read a chapter. It doesn't matter if you don't read two chapters. It doesn't matter if you read five verses. But read something that means something to you. Now, I'm not waiting personally. I mean, I do it anyway, but I'm not waiting until the first of the year before I start. But it's a good day for a lot of people, and so we're going to start January the 1st. And I'm telling people, you know, I'm still reading through the Bible, but every year I do that. But I'm not trying to get you to read. I'm trying, and her point was, I want you to remember what you meditated in. And how many times do people read the Bible but don't remember at 11 a.m. what they read at 7 a.m.? And so I'm starting January 1 of, and we got people signed up in the congregation to see how many will spend 30 minutes a day. And whether it's one scripture or five or 10, it doesn't matter. When you lay the Bible down, and I'm asking them not to use the electronics, to use the Bible, unless they go and look up something, but to spend 30 minutes for the first 30 days of January. Study the Bible, meditate the Bible, don't read it. And you know, it really spoke to me, because one thought through the day, when the enemy comes, if you've got one word from God in the day, you could be out soul winning, you could be out witnessing, and someone something can happen one way or the other. But if you got one word from God, that one word could give you just what you need to meet the opposition that comes against you. Just one word. And I think sometimes we don't focus because we have so much. We have so much and we try to obtain so much when it's better to get one thing than it is to get many and not remember what we got. Amen. So I'm really looking forward to taking our people through 30 days of them and questioning them and going through some things I plan to do to make sure that we're really on the right path, because I really believe one of the things that Satan has done to the church is gotten things to the place to where people can hear or see something on the screen. And I'm not against us putting it on the screen. I do that at our church. But that's the only memory we have of it. We need to have it inside us, where it's not something we just heard, but it's something we've meditated on, something that's been revealed to us. And so when Satan comes, we know how to resist the devil. Many people know they can resist the devil, but they don't really know how when the enemy comes. And so I would encourage you, before this year ends, you know, we got 9 days after today, I would really encourage you to start revving up your Holy Ghost faith. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. Anybody real quick want to tell me what the first word is there? Isn't that nice? Not January the 1st. December the 22nd. Amen. Now. But you know what? You can take now off of it. What does it say? So you see, it either way. I mean, if you want to take the now off, that's all right. You can take the now off, because it still says the same thing if you take the word now off, because it says faith is right now. It's present tense. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I'm not going to wait till January 1 to start exercising my faith. I'm going to exercise my faith right now. Something good is happening. Something good is happening. See, some people, they want to wait till January 1 to get things in order. I started getting things the way I wanted them way before I came to church here tonight, way before anything. I started planning, I started praying, I started believing God. And see, the way I see this thing is, I don't know how many of you have ever run a marathon or you've ever run a race. You know, you've gone to a car race. You watch a ball game. I mean, you know, bless the Cowboys' hearts, they finally made it today. A miracle. It was a miracle. Miracle. I guess they got all stirred up there at the end. But see, at the end, in ball games, races, marathons, isn't that where you save the best till the last? And at the end, you may be worn, you may be tired, you may have come a long distance, but you're reaching down with everything you got just to get to the goal line. The race car drivers, they're doing all they can to make it just as close as they can to number one. So when I preach about this and talk about it, I do it somewhere every year, no matter where I am, I talk about this, because I just think it's important for us to keep our faith active. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of the things we yet do not hold in our hand. Faith is the evidence of what we are believing for. It's the evidence. It's the proof. Amen? It's the proof. So when we near the end of a calendar year, and you know it's only a calendar change. It's not like the world changes. Somehow we got this whole thing like when the one year goes out and the new one comes in, it's like we're in a brand new world. Where did this thinking come from? You know, like, man, we're being born again, or we're just being birthed again. No, it's just a flip on a calendar page. It's just a number change. And some people get all bent out of shape when they pray or they believe God, and at the 31st of December, they have not yet seen the answer to what they've been believing for, and they set it on December the 31st, it's got to happen. Well, it's just a number change. It's not the end of the world. But what I'm saying and trying to put in your mind to get so much out of your mind, living it from year to year, but living for God every day with enthusiasm, living with God every day expecting something good, living every day as a witness of Jesus Christ, no matter whether we're witnessing with our mouth or witnessing with our life, that we are to be an example. Amen? So, as we're ending the calendar year, let's not say, I just can't make it. I just got to quit. I just got to wait till January the 1st. I got to get my breath. No, it's the end of the calendar year. Let's give it all we got. And I'm telling you, I'm giving it all I have. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm thanking God. I'm finding every penny I can to give, every dollar I can give, every $100. I'm doing everything. I'm making sure there's no tithe that I haven't paid. I'm telling you one thing. I am in this race to win. I am in this race to see the yokes of the devil broken. I'm in this race to see the yokes of the devil destroyed, to see people healed, delivered, and the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost of souls coming into the kingdom of God that we've ever seen. This is no time to slow down. This is no time to be weary, but this is the time to walk and not faint and run with strength and patience that we've never run with before. Amen. So the next 9 days, make up your mind you're going to have a good attitude every day. No matter what happens, decide. Get up in the morning. No, before you go to bed. I'm going to have a good attitude tomorrow. I'm going to have a good attitude tomorrow. Go to bed with a good attitude. Go to bed with a good attitude. Get up with a good attitude. Determine that you're going to do what's right. Determine, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. Amen? You know, I asked someone yesterday, someone else called me, and I said, I'd just like a little advice right here. What would you do if you think you were in my position? What do you think you would do? I'd like some advice. Well, I had a picture in my mind what was right from the Bible of what Jesus would do. But I asked this person because they're aware of the situation. And it's kind of a like 11-year thing. This time of the year, people do some stuff. And I said, and it's not nice stuff. And they've been doing this for 11 years. And this person, again, as I said, is well aware. And I said, what would you do? And they gave me their opinion of what they would do. And I said, thank you. I want to do the right thing when someone else does not necessarily do the right thing. Amen? I think I've told you this before, but let me repeat it. It's good for me. If you don't want to hear it, I'll hear it, tell myself, and I go home feeling happy. But I got a friend that says he doesn't know how to be a friend. And we've been friends for over 50 years. Isn't that strange? Good person. But my wife did a couple of things, and she invited him, and he never responded. And I didn't know she did it, because these were surprises that she did to me. And after, she said, well, I invited so-and-so, and he didn't even reply. And I said, well, no problem. And so his wife did a surprise thing and sent me an invitation. I told my wife, I said, RSVP for me. She said, what? You mean you're going? Do you know how much that's going to cost us? I said, no, I hadn't really thought about it, but I know it's not going to be cheap. Do you know where the guests are staying? No. She showed me. I said, oh, boy, that's a nice place. She said, that costs so much a night. And I said, I'm sure it does. I bet it's going to be nice. I said, RSVP. She said, we're not doing that. She said, and that's when she told me. She said, on the two deals I did for you, I sent them invitations and I got no reply. I said, oh, they might have been out of the country. Who knows? You know, me. I want to think the right thing. She said, well, you're not going. I said, oh, I'm not. I said, yes, we are. She said, well, why do you want to go? He didn't come and honor you. When I asked him to come and honor you, I said, you know what? That's got nothing to do. I need to go for me now that you're telling me this. I need to go for me more than ever. Well, I showed up, and of course, it just shocked his pants off that I showed up. And it was a surprise to him, and when I was there, and his wife came up to my wife, and she said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. When I was sending you the invitation, I wondered if you would respond or not. We didn't respond. We don't know how to be a friend like you guys are. But I tell you what, we want to cover your plane ticket and your hotel. And he put his arms around me and he cried big tears and he said, I just don't know how to be a friend like you. I said, I don't care. I'm not here for what you can do for me. I hope I'm a blessing to you today by being here. See, too many times, my second thing, I said, maintain a right attitude. Keep doing what's right the rest of this year. And when you go into the next year, see, this takes you into that. And then my next point would be, keep loving others. The next thing is, keep your confession of faith. No matter what it looks like today, the next 9 days until we end this new calendar year, keep your confession of faith. Don't lose your confession of faith, no matter what it looks like. And you know what? This one is very simple, but let's just keep going. You know, when you feel like, as I said just a minute ago, you're just at the end, I'm tired, man, it's the end of the year, it's been a bad year, it's been a tough year. You know, for some of us, we've had a lot of punches and felt like a few times we've been lying on the floor and had a nosebleed or a black eye and hit below the belt. But you know, we get back up. See, you get back up and think about the times you got up, not necessarily how many times you got knocked down. Just think about the time, hey, I got up. The Holy Ghost helped me get up. So you might have gotten knocked down a lot, but you got back up. You're here tonight. That's why you're here. You got back up. That's why you're here tonight. You come. I don't believe you're here just because you're loyal. I believe you come because you want to be in the presence of God. I appreciate loyalty. God appreciates loyalty. Amen. But let's just keep going. Amen. Let's keep believing. Let's keep believing. If we're going to look at it in the calendar of year, we got 9 days. So why be wore out? Why can't these 9 days be the greatest 9 days of this year? And you know what? Let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. Just because it's Christmas, don't take a vacation on Christmas Day. Take a vacation on Christmas Eve. But it's Christmas. Who's Christmas all about? Why not, if we're going to celebrate with him, let's pray to him. So, why put Christmas Day aside not to pray? Amen? Why take Christmas Eve as a time off? Let's keep praying. Let's keep giving. Let's keep giving. Not just gifts to one another, to family members, but let's keep giving of our time, our talents, and what God's blessed us with. And then this last number here in this particular little section, let's finish well. When we get to that 31st of this year and it's over, we may have been knocked down a number of times and we may have had a lot of bruises and a lot of things happen. But let's look back and say, I did my best, glory to God. And I'm going to do my best going in. I'm leaving well and I'm going to enter well. I don't know about you, but it just makes me happy. You know, I think I told you I finished my new book. I wrote one, but I wasn't happy with it, and so I wrote another one. I've just finished it. I think myself happy. I'm going to publish it pretty soon or get it published. And I'm telling you, I get to thinking about it. When Paul was standing before King Agrippa, and, you know, he could have been crying. He could have been feeling sorry for himself. He could have been talking about all the times he's been beat when there was no reason for him to be beat. But he looked up to Agrippa and he said, oh, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I just preach myself happy. I think myself happy. I pray myself happy. I read myself happy. I read the Word of God. So I stay happy. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, let me ask you to do something. These next 9 days of this calendar year, don't complain about one thing. Which way should I look here? You made eye contact with me when you said that. No. Seriously, think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. For the next 9 days, don't complain about one thing. For some people, that would be really a tough job. They're so negative. But you know what? A faith person, we shouldn't be complainers. I often tell people when I have to make explanation, I often say, I'm not complaining, just explaining. See, it is a difference. But don't say nothing, but what have you complained about today? complained about today? Who have you complained about today? You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, if you want to, the Bible says faith is. Well, let's take it like it says now faith is. Yes. So if you're in faith, there's nothing to complain about. Well, they're not treating me right. No, you're in faith. They didn't do me. No, you're in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if you find yourself that you've complained, stop. And say, Lord, help me. I'm not going to complain. I want to rejoice. What does Philippians 4 and 4 say? So spend the rest of these 9 days. Things have not happened the way you want them to happen. Spend the rest of these 9 days rejoicing. And if you find yourself that you complain, stop. Fix it. Get it right. Don't go into 2014 being a complainer. Go into 2014 being one that rejoices in the Lord always. You know, I'm very personal, and I don't care for you knowing a little bit about me. But a little over a year ago, our son and 2 grandchildren came to live with us. We didn't know they was going to be there this long. And they're going to be there till January the 24th. So that's 1 year and 4 months. We thought it might have been 3 months when they came. And you know, we love our little grandchildren. They're just precious. And my son is just absolutely awesome. I find times that I could complain. Because when you've been empty in your house for years. My wife and I have been empty with no one in the house for years except the guests that would come and stay. And so when someone else comes in your house, and you know, my son and his 2 wonderful kids, our grandchildren, their lifestyle is different than ours. Let me just say this, it's very much different than ours. I even have to drive grandkids to school. Interrupting sometimes real good times with me and the Lord. But, you know, when it comes time for school, you know, you just. I had to reread Philippians 4 and 4.
Oh, come on, help me out.
All right. You act like I'm not human. I'm just as much human as you are. Their eating habits are different than mine. And my son's idea of how and when his children should eat is much different than his mother and father's idea of when and how they should eat. The way we clean is different. Now, I have had opportunity to complain and probably did for a couple of times till I realized they're still here. I invited them. I got myself into this. So let's enjoy the journey. Let's enjoy the journey. And you know, sometimes that lifestyle, in my lifestyle, I have to start from here and believe it goes down to You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? So I made a commitment. I know one time my wife said something, and I said, no complaining. They're still here. They're still going to be here. No complaining. See, you can't change what you tolerate. You can't change what you tolerate. But it's not like we have to tolerate something, but it's our lifestyles are different. And so let's make the best of it, not the worst of it. We get to spend these months with our grandchildren. And oh, my granddaughter has so bonded with her grandmother. And I see them sometimes, and she comes to me sometimes, and my little grandson. I mean, sometimes just having them there all the time. I mean, I'm getting teary-eyed thinking about it now. It is just such a joy to have them that close instead of having to tolerate it. Amen. So I learned early on not to complain, but to enjoy the journey. Amen. So let's not endure the next 9 days of the calendar year. Let's not endure the next 9 days of the calendar year. Let's enjoy these next 9 days. Amen. And let me try to wind this down if I can, but one of the things that I'm going to ask you to do is walk in humility. Walk in humility. Humility is an antidote for pride. If you stay humble, you can overcome pride. Don't allow pride to keep you from doing the right thing. See, there's a big difference in self-respect and pride. It's a big difference. Pride will cause you to make bad and painful decisions. But humility will give you the grace to make right choices. I was talking with someone this week by phone, long distance, and they was telling me how there was a breakup in a relationship in a family, or a breach, I should say. And this person said, now I want you to know. I'm telling you, I want you to know. I'm not going to be the first to make this right. They're going to have to come to me because they started it. A person of faith. And I said, don't you think it would be better just to humble yourself, and it doesn't matter who started it? Why don't you take the humble route and just forgive? Just forgive. Proverbs 16:18. And 19, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. It doesn't mean, that word lowly does not mean less value, but it simply means a person that is submitting themselves to the Lord. Better to be humble, of a humble spirit, than with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, I'm really reluctant to, but let me just try to put this in a metaphor if I can. Someone was in a position, and they had influence, and they got full of pride. And it's not here at this church. Not here at this church that I'm talking about. Let me do explain this, but it's a metaphor. I want to make it because it was reality, but I want to put it in a metaphor possibility to see, understand it. And they got full of pride, made some bad choices and decisions that caused people to change where they went to church, broke a lot of relationships by their decision. And it was simply pride. Pride is rebellion. I want to say that again. Pride is rebellion against the authority of the Word of God. Pride comes before a fall. Pride, just like the person told me on the phone, I'm prideful. They said that. I'm prideful, and I'm not going to be the one to make this right. They have to be the one. So they're rebelling against righteousness. Pride will cause you to rebel against righteousness. But this person, it seemed that they had the perfect marriage, the perfect family. But now, this person that was the epitome of righteousness now has divorced their spouse with two beautiful children and now has left the Pentecostal faith and has gone to New Age. So I want to encourage you, when others make choices, you humble yourself before the Lord that you follow the right choice. Follow God in your decisions. Don't let someone else in this church be the greater influence than the shepherd that God puts here to lead this flock. The shepherd that God puts here to lead this flock. What does the Bible say? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I often say this, there's danger in listening to the stranger. Now, this person that was full of pride caused a number of young couples to make a decision, or led them in the decision that they were making. And now, many of those couples are now divorced. So when a wrong choice is made out of pride, and you follow that decision that someone makes out of pride, you're going to walk in the same path that that person walks in. So that's why it's so important for me to talk to you the way I am this evening from the Word of God. Don't ever let pride fill your heart, because pride will cause you to rebel against righteousness and truth. And again, when God places the shepherd is to lead the flock. Amen? Amen. I can't and don't want to control anybody's decisions. I want to lead people to make right choices. But again, people have to make those choices. And that's why I said to you, don't complain. Because complaining is finding fault, to make accusation. It's bringing formal charge. So if we will take these next 9 days, and let's be of a humble spirit and not complain about anything. King David finished strong at his end because he humbled himself. And when one of his sons that was not promised the kingdom tried to take the throne over through a spirit of pride and rebellion, David had promised Solomon that he would be the next king. David fulfilled what he was supposed to, and Solomon became the next king because David humbled himself, and his son that was out filled with pride with the wrong friends. The son, David's son, had the wrong friends. You can read the story. Know that he tried to become king in Solomon's place. But Bathsheba and the prophet told him. And so David followed through and turned the kingdom over to Solomon. Now look at Solomon. Solomon didn't finish well because he let pride get into his life. David finished well because he stayed humble. But his son that was given the greatest thing and was humble before God, and God told Solomon himself, he said, because you haven't asked for things, you haven't asked for riches and wealth and fame, you've asked for wisdom. You've asked for wisdom, and I'm going to give it to you. And he did, and he was the wisest and richest king ever. But in the end, he let pride. See, humility is the greatest gift you can give yourself. Walk in humility. James 4 and 6, the New Living Translation. But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scripture said, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. The times that I've taken the route of humility, I look at this and it says, if I take the humble route, God favors me. God favors me. When I'm walking a road that I know it's tougher to walk this road, but I know the sacrifices for the moment is going to be good for the endurance of the race. Humility is not thinking you're worthless. That's inferiority. That's a spirit of fear from Satan. You're valuable. You're valuable. You're valuable to God. So valuable to God that God gave his only son for you. And look at this. I want you to think about this. Sooner and sometimes later, most of the time it's later, the humble are promoted. See, sometimes believers forget Hebrews 11 and 1. Faith is. Faith is now in the time of trial. Faith is now in time of trial. Don't waver in your faith when the pressure's on. Now faith is. Faith is now. The pressure's on. We're near the end of the calendar year and time is running out. Faith is now. Just keep doing the right thing. Faith is now. Amen? Are you blessed this evening? Yes. Now let me finish. I mean, I'm only a third through the message, but I'll stop right here. The person of humility is the one that's promoted. Maybe not today. But again, Joseph, in the darkest hours, every one of his situations, we have no record in the Bible of where he complained. We have no record of where he complained. When he was sold by his brothers, when he was put on the slave block, auctioned off, and Potiphar bought him. When he was put into prison. None of those times do we read where he complained. But Joseph stayed humble before the Lord. He stayed humble before the Lord. In every situation when it seemed he was being degraded, it seemed he was being put in a lower position, but yet had been given a vision from the Lord, a dream from the Lord. He just kept, faith is, faith is, faith is, faith is, faith is, faith is. When Potiphar's wife, you know, I think about when Potiphar's wife would try to get him to have adultery with her. Did you know that she would certainly have told no one? Because in the Egyptian law, by her doing what she was doing, she would automatically be killed. So she wasn't about to open her mouth and tell anyone. So Joseph knew she couldn't tell anybody, and it would be a secret and private on her part because she wouldn't want to be killed. I mean, that was the Jewish law if you're caught in adultery. So Joseph knew that. Well, he didn't let his mind go that direction. He made his mind go the right direction when the wrong thing was presented to him. And even in his mind, he knew there was possibilities that no one would find out. He knew he would be going against the laws of God. See, folks, humility will make you do the right thing when someone else does the wrong thing. Here, and let me tell you something. Pardon my imagination here for a moment. I imagine when she walked into the room, she smelled nice. I imagine when she walked into the room, you knew she walked in. And I imagine the clothes she wore accented her body. So Joseph wasn't a fool. He wasn't blind, but he was a humble man of God that kept righteousness before God, and his humility promoted him. He went from no bed to a king-size bed. Amen. He went from no sheets to satin sheets. He went from bad decor, no decor in a snap of a finger, to the beautiful, beautiful surroundings that anyone would ever desire to have. Now, it came that quick, but it came because of years of walking in humility. If you want January 2014 to bring you to the place of promotion, I beg you this evening, take these next 9 days. Take these 9 days and go over some of the things that I said. I had some really jewels here, but I just can't keep you here all night. There's some jewels, but take what you've heard tonight. Go out of here this evening and begin to rev your engine. And let's run this race of these 9 days of this calendar year. And let's run right into 2014 with faith working like we've never had before. And Brother Charlie, what's the numbers on 2013? Just a little over a year, 49,000 people have been approached and told about Jesus, and they have prayed this prayer. Yes, say it again, 49,000. Now, I know some people, in their eyes, this is not a big deal, but as I said here several weeks ago, it may not be everything you want it to be, but it's a seed that you plant. It's a seed that you plant. And whether you see them in this room when you would like to see them or not, that's none of your business or mine. The seed being planted is what's our business. And when we go out among ourselves and we sow the seed and we plant the seed, the Bible says that every seed produces after its own kind.
Hallelujah.
You ought to come out of your seat when I told you that. I hope I hadn't put you to sleep talking about this. Thank you, my brother. Every seed produces after its own kind. Now, I'm not just saying let's expand the numbers and make them bigger. But if in just a little over a year, and the year's not over, Brother Charlie.
Hundred and sixty-one people responded to the altar calls this morning. 79 in here, 82 in Children's Church, and over 20 people this morning were baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Wow. What's December the 25th all about? Not just the Christmas tree and the lights. I told you they represent something. What is Christmas dinner about? What's the present exchange about? It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Brother Troy, I don't know what your plans are. You may be going out of town for a few days and going to see loved ones and Dan and members of the church. And I'm not telling you not to take a break. But I'm going to say to you, everywhere you turn, plant that seed. If you're taking a break from formal of the church doing it, that's okay and it's understandable. But don't take a personal break of planting seeds the rest of this year. You know, I find myself in places and things are being said and I'm standing there or sitting, whatever the case, and I'm trying to find the right words so I can change the situation to where I can plant the seed that needs to be planted. When I plant the right seeds, every seed produces after its own kind. Pastor Bob, one way or the other, one way or the other, we're going to see this thing filled to capacity. Because every seed produces after its own kind. So when the seed is sown to the lost will come home when they're found. They are found. They are found. They find Jesus as their Savior. So, my friends, don't be weary. Don't let yourself get so out of breath that you can't go. The next 9 days, plant every seed that you can plant to tell a person that Jesus loves them. Amen. Are you blessed this evening? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to finish in about 2 or 3 minutes. And what I'd like to do is, I tell you what, just somebody get this. And I want everybody just come down here and let's just submit ourselves to the Lord. Everyone come down. I want to pray for everyone, but I want to take just a couple of minutes to pray with you. Seeking you shall find. Asking you shall receive. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. You know, these next few days, let me talk about me personally just a minute. I'm so excited. Sorry about your daddy having to go be with Jesus, but he's not sorry. Oh, he's down there. He's up there shouting right now and running up and down the streets and preaching like he did here. I never had the opportunity to hear him, but I know he was a great man. But I just want to pray with you that you'll remember one or two of the points that I made tonight. That in this calendar year that we are living out, that when we start the new one, we're not tired. We don't feel like we're beat up. We don't feel like, I just can't do this. But we feel like this is the greatest opportunity I've ever had. Doesn't matter your age, the youngest to the mature. The seed, Pastor Bob, that you planted, oh my goodness. Over the years, the seed that you've planted. I mean, there's going to be fields. There's fields everywhere, everywhere. Pastors out pastoring churches that sat under your ministry, that came here to Bible school. You may not have done the same things, but friends, you've sown your seeds. And make sure, this is how I want to pray and finish. I want to make sure that for the next 9 days, you sow the right seed for these next 9 days. So when January comes, when January 1 comes, you're not still in first gear. You're not just stopped putting in first gear, but you're already into overdrive or fifth or sixth gear by the time January 1 comes, because your faith has not decreased and you've not grown weary. No matter how many times you've been knocked down, remember, you got back up. You're here tonight. Now, Father, I pray over every person this evening. I'm so grateful that we have this time together to talk about your goodness, to talk about your glory. And sometimes, Lord, when things appear small, that's when they're the greatest. So I pray, Lord, these next 9 days, that there's a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of faith that rises up in everyone, that they're not taking a break from faith. No one takes a break from faith. Lord, help each one to hear this message tonight. We're not taking a break from faith. We're not taking a break from faith, but our faith is active. Our faith is now. We press in now to your goodness. And Lord, we become expectant. We become expectant of our families coming to you. Our families making right choices and right decisions. And I thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing. For a fresh anointing. Fresh anointing, Lord, for everyone to finish well. Not just enduring, but finishing well with excitement. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Something big is happening in this room tonight. Something big. Something good. Something big. You know, I got to preach one more minute, I'm sorry. See, at the birth of Christ, to the world, it was a small event. Because Jesus was born. outside of the hotel room. He didn't get to be in the Holiday Inn Express or the Sheraton or one of the big five-star resorts. It was small. It was Mary and Joseph. But the angel was outside breaking the news to the shepherds. But the wise men were traveling. A small event that was taking place is one of the greatest events that's ever happened in the history of time. So this may be small in what we're beginning here tonight, but it's big in the outcome of what's taking place. The angels are announcing what we're talking about tonight. Send your angels out. Dispatch your angels. Folks, something good is happening in your life tonight. Don't be weary in well-doing, or you will reap in due season. Now give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Look at someone and say, you're blessed. You're blessed. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
I'll give it back to Pastor Bob.
Well, let's shout the shout of victory tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you'd like to be a blessing to our dear brother tonight, just leave it on the platform. Let's go thou and do likewise. Let's live out the notes that we receive. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Oh, God, love you. Well, the Lord bless you and give you a good week. Remember, Wednesday night, there'll be a one-hour service. And next weekend is just going to be anointed of God. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Let's go with God. The bookstore, I believe the bookstore is open, so a lot of good bargains there.
Much more than a man, and the way.